drugs cause adverse reactions, but it's a gamble we all take. A pill for every ill? 27 drugs have been taken off the market for killing people, including Vanessa Young, whose father avenged her death with a new Canadian law on drug safety.
You got a headache. I've got some strange disease. Don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease.
Terrence Young is an MP from Oakville. His daughter, at the age of 15, who was taking a pharmaceutical drug, suddenly died.
There are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations, but it's worth it for the drugs I need.
So his quest, his whole mission in life now, is to protect the consumer from these drugs that are getting to the marketplace and unfortunately either hurting or even killing people.
It is Thursday morning. Pam Colleen is in the house. Pam, I don't think this has ever happened before. We just had a phone call in the newsroom just moments ago based on just a very brief 30-second mention before the 10 o'clock news of what we were going to talk about, the side effects of prescription drugs. I took the call, such emotion in the caller's voice. I then passed the phone to you. He shared his story. What did he say?
You could definitely hear the pain in his voice. About 2 years ago, his 19-year-old son was at a party with some friends, and they had prescription opiate drugs. And I talk about this in my last book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. I talk about this trend where kids are having these pill parties. So they're taking pills from their parents' medicine cabinets or from wherever, and they're having these parties. And they, because they're prescription drugs, these kids, unfortunately, think that they're inherently safe. But the tragedy in this case, of course, is this poor young man passed away. And it was due to the taking of these prescription opiate drugs.
In just a moment, we're going to talk to MP Terrence Young. What an incredible story he has. His 15-year-old daughter, Vanessa.
Yeah, passed away suddenly taking a prescription drug that he found out eventually that she should never have been prescribed. About 80 people have died taking this drug.
Wow. Okay, a lot of pain in this show, folks, I want to tell you. And I want to warn you, we have two very special guests to share their personal pain because each of them has had a family tragedy. Pam, the story of Terrence Young, you've shared at his 15-year-old daughter collapse and die in front of him because
of taking a prescription medication that everybody in the family believed to be safe. And unfortunately, that didn't turn out to be the case. And he's also authored a book about this problem, of course, with prescription drugs, and it's called Death by Prescription. So, Mr. Young, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Glad to join in. Thank you.
Death by Prescription. Now, there's a book heading that grabs you. Terrence, let's start on the positive note. Tell us about this wonderful young lady named Vanessa.
Well, Vanessa was a wonderful young lady. You're exactly right. 15 years old, and she was known as one of the ladies at the Burlo Canoe Club that Vanessa used to go canoeing in. Described her ironically as drop-dead gorgeous, but her real beauty was from within, and she was a beautiful person. Totally innocent, took a prescription drug, a Johnson & Johnson drug, actually marketed by Janssen Earthlow, for bloating after meals, which is very common. Teenage girls, one out of four teenage girls will suffer bloating after meals or some form of bulimia. And they gave her a drug to help her move the food through her system, which turns out didn't work very well anyway. And in fact, under certain circumstances, could stop people's hearts. And that's exactly what happened with Vanessa on March 18th, 2000. It stopped her heart, and she never regained consciousness and died the next day.
Now, you're passing a bill through the Senate right now. Perhaps you can give us an update and tell us where the bill is at and what the bill is about.
The bill is about empowering patients and doctors to understand the true risks with prescription drugs. Now, I should differentiate between my sympathies to this father who called you and had lost his son due to a pill party, which is what young people are doing in some communities. That was an inappropriate use of a drug. But the fourth leading cause of death in North America is prescription drugs taken the right way.
Mm-hmm.
and that is as prescribed. And in fact, one out of nine patients who ends up in hospital, internal medicine, it's due to a prescription drug. And so taken the right way, they cause adverse reactions or dangerous reactions. Vanessa's Law addresses a whole range of things that have not been addressed and where the pharmaceutical companies have not done a good job of warning patients of the true risks of their products, and they haven't taken drugs off the market. They should have taken off the market soon enough, resulting in those deaths and many, many injuries. Vanessa's Law is the name of the law, and what it does, it gives the Minister of Health for Canada the power to require a label change, that is, the labels that patients normally don't see anyway, but doctors might see and pharmacists do see, to include new harm information, but in plain language so that ordinary people can understand it and understand the true risks of a prescription they're taking.
Were you ever warned, you, your family, your wife, and your daughter, about the possible side effects of this drug?
Absolutely not. And that is the norm. In fact, the tradition in medicine has been the doctor knows best, and they don't warn patients the true risks of serious adverse effects because they might not take their drugs. So they, in effect, are supplanting the decision-making power that I believe patients should have. And patients are increasingly involved more in their healthcare. The number one use of the internet is people inquiring about their own health and their own healthcare on the internet. So patients deserve to have the right information and know the true risks of what they're taking. Vanessa's Law will help make sure that happens.
Terrence, I just briefly mentioned before the 10 o'clock news what we were going to be talking about, and then we got this painful call. Now you're saying it's prescription drugs are the fourth leading cause of death in North America.
Yes.
Taken the right way.
Yes.
Taken the right way, let alone the other options. You must be accosted on a regular basis by people who, like the person who just called our newsroom.
I do have a lot of conversations with particularly parents who've lost a family member. In one case, a son who lost his mother. She was 75 years old, and others. And it's very, very difficult to take these calls because I've been working to expose these risks and expose these dangers for 14 years. And so that people will know, before you take a prescription drug, ask your doctor, what are the potential serious adverse effects from this drug and under what conditions? For example, it could be you're taking another drug at the same time and they interact badly, or it could be that you have a condition that interacts with that drug that can make it dangerous. But the doctors are not really on top of it, and I discovered very early on in my research it's because the drug companies were not telling the doctors, because that's bad for sales.
Yes. Yesterday in the Toronto Star, I don't know if you saw the article about the Star probe. The Toronto Star has been probing this particular subject, and they've handed over the information to the health minister, Rona Ambrose.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this investigation.
I did. This is a terrific minister. I'm so proud to be in the same caucus as Rona Ambrose. And when she first discovered, for example, with Diane 35, a birth control pill responsible for at least seven deaths of young women, that Health Canada had not been publishing the reviews of the drugs that are already on the market, she simply announced, we are going to publish them from now on, and that is going to happen. And Dave Brucer and others at the Toronto Star who have exposed the fact that Health Canada has not been publishing the fact that drugs cause harm when they're used off-label, which means for uses the drug has never been proven safe and effective. She announced Health Canada is now going to publish that information as well. So this is a very courageous minister, a dynamic minister, and these changes are, this is a quantum leap in drug safety, Vanessa's Law, and these changes on transparency, this policy of transparency in this government, something I've worked for 14 years, and I'm just watching it unfold, and it's a beautiful thing to behold, I have to tell you.
Well, it's become your mission in life. Are we starting to realize what Pam Colleen has been warning us about all along, that we are simply not getting the truth? That's what's so upsetting about this. We on this show are all about truth and transparency and telling people so they can make informed choices. But we constantly hear that even Health Canada cannot be trusted to share the truth.
Well, Health Canada is going through a great transformation right now, I can tell you without hesitation. It's been a long time coming. The Food and Drugs Act hasn't gone through major change for 50 years. But it's happening in society at large, and it's about empowering patients and giving them the truth. You know, in 2012, GlaxoSmithKline paid a fine in the United States for illegally marketing three of their drugs. Paxil, which is an antidepressant which can cause suicide. Wellbutrin, which also causes suicide and other adverse effects. And Avandia, which is a diabetes drug which can cause heart attacks and strokes. They had sold $26 billion worth of those three drugs in the previous 6 years and marketed them illegally. Now, these are criminal offenses. Because people die when drugs are marketed illegally because patients are taking them when they're inappropriate. They paid a fine to the U.S. government, the states, of $3 billion. $3 billion fine. And so no one ever goes to jail. So they just keep doing it. And it's not just GlaxoSmithKline. In fact, AstraZeneca paid $520 million for misleading doctors and patients about the safety of Seroquel. And it goes on, the major pharmaceutical companies, for hiding the true risks of prescription drugs. Patients are being injured and dying. And this is a transformational change. In fact, Vanessa's law includes fines up to $5 million a day for not warning patients, giving them the information they should get, patients and doctors. And for criminal negligence, actually unlimited fines. So if a judge saw that they had made billions of dollars from a drug and patients had been harmed and they'd covered up the safety issues, they could be fined the full amount of sales of the drug or even more.
Now, you were recently on a television show called Drugged to Death. This is a show done by Lorna Dueck, and the website is Context with Lorna Dueck. And I did watch the show. It is on her website. Can you tell us about your experiences on that show?
Well, that was more of a spiritual journey. They talked, this is a Christian television show, and they'd asked me about my spiritual journey. And so, it's been 14 years. And so when Vanessa died, in fact, the day she died, I swore an oath to myself to get to the bottom of it and find out how and why Vanessa died, and then to help change the system so that it didn't happen in other families. And until Vanessa's law and until the new regulations the minister announced this year on plain language labeling, nothing significant had changed. But significant changes are now here, and it's going to start to change. So it's a pretty exciting time for me and the Young family.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, Terrence Young, MP from Oakville, is at the heart of this whole issue? Is it that doctors who are very, very busy simply trust drug companies when it comes to information about their product, when the drug companies have one very simple motive, to sell drugs and make money?
That is definitely at the heart of the problem. The doctors, doctors don't like anyone to tell them what to do. They're trained very early on from medical school that they are the ones in the authority, and that no one should tell them how to operate their practice. And in fact, they get information on the safety of drugs from commissioned drug reps who go to their offices with gifts and free lunches, or take them to baseball games or whatever. And they don't see that that's an inappropriate influence, and they don't see that the drug reps are only telling them the positive side of the drugs, how the drugs can help patients. They don't tell them the risks of serious adverse effects. And so there are debts of gratitude in the medical profession to the drug reps with all the gifts they get and the free trips and the free drug samples. The drug companies hand out $3 billion a year worth of free samples. And that creates inappropriate debts of gratitude between the drug reps and the doctors, and then also between the doctors and the patients. But there is no authority that can direct doctors what to do. So it has to be a change that goes right back to medical schools. And I was at the University of Ottawa Medical School about a month ago, and I found out they do not let the drug reps into the medical school. And I was so thrilled to see that, because that's been a problem for decades. The drug reps go in the very first week of medical school. They buy them their first free pizza lunch, and they buy them their first leather bag when they graduate from medical school. And it begins this lifelong, career-long, inappropriate relationship, which colors their decision-making. Doctors should make decisions for patients with the best available objective evidence, and they're not getting it.
Now, there's a question. There's a caller who's calling in, Andy, that maybe we should ask about right now with regards to the off-label use of drugs as well. So I gather Anne
go
has
ahead.
A question.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm wondering if your guest might be able to get in touch with Frank Cleese. Frank Cleese is a now-retired Progressive Conservative MPP. Mr. Cleese has been a longtime advocate for getting oversight of the Children's Aid Societies. One of the reasons being, Andy, is they are drugging children out of their minds. on medication not even approved for Health Canada. This is documented from journalists. I haven't just pulled it out of the air. And the damage these drugs are doing is absolutely monumental. And they're doing it because these kids are under the wardship of the state, meaning they're guinea pigs. And something absolutely must be done about it. And I know, I believe this gentleman is actually friends with Mr. Cleese. I would highly encourage him to get a hold of Frank and see if they can include child welfare. Because
well, hang on, maybe he's already. Hang on, Ann. Maybe I don't want to assume that he hasn't done that. Terrence, are you connecting to what Ann is saying?
Yes, I'm hearing what Ann is saying, and I share her concern. And I would like to tell Ann that Vanessa's law includes new powers for the Minister of Health. When a drug is being used unsafely or potentially unsafely in a specific population, like children, the minister can order new tests or studies to make sure that it's not harming those patients. But I saw a situation back in 2004 in Halton where the Children's Aid had actually put up children to participate in drug studies at McMaster University. And they would give the children free pizza and pop after they asked a bunch of questions, about stress, et cetera. And they were planning on testing an antidepressant on children that had been abused. And I thought, this is abusing them again, putting them up for testing of a prescription drug. And it was exposed, and it was stopped. And it's highly inappropriate. But Vanessa's law does have new protection for specific patient groups like children who may be taking drugs when they could harm
them. Awesome. Okay, Ann, we're going to let you go because we have just 2 moments left, 2 minutes left. Terrence Young, MP from Oakville. Again, if you could just, for people who are wrapping their minds around your message in the next 2 minutes, can you summarize what you are doing to protect Canadians from the deadly, potentially deadly side effects of some prescription drugs?
I'd be happy to do that. And I do want to say first to all your listeners today, Andy, no one should stop taking a prescription drug they're on right now without going back and talking to their doctor. And if you think you're having an adverse reaction, tell your doctor and ask for expert advice, because there are some drugs, if you just stop taking them cold turkey, that can be quite dangerous. So don't do that without talking to your doctor and getting sound advice, and make sure your doctor knows any other drugs you might be taking at the same time. But Vanessa's law, which has gone through 3 readings in the House of Commons and is on 2nd reading in the Senate, I believe it will be passed in September, October, is going to empower the minister to take unsafe drugs off the market without having to negotiate with the drug companies, to order the drug companies to change the drug's label so doctors get the information, tells them the true risks of serious adverse drug reactions. It gives the minister the power to order new tests and studies. In other words, the officials at Health Canada will not have to negotiate with these very powerful international drug companies to get unsafe drugs off the market or to change their labels to protect patients. It's the most significant new legislation to protect patients in 50 years, and I'm very proud of it. I believe it's going to be passed by the Senate, and it's going to start a sea change in empowering patients and doctors to make sure Canadians are safer when taking prescription drugs.
Well, Terrence, we can't say enough about how you're responding to your daughter's death to turn a very negative and tragic situation into something so entirely positive. As you look back on your life years from now, will this be the beacon that you look back on, that you took the tragedy of your daughter and used it to save the lives of other potential victims?
Well, that was always my goal, and I believe it's already starting to happen, so that's... It's personally satisfying, I have to tell you, but really, this isn't about me. It never was about me. It was about Vanessa, and it was about protecting Canadians. And so to see these changes happen, I have to say, is pretty exciting.
Terrific.
And I think we should guide people to your website where they can find out more information about Vanessa's law. And your website's name is very simple. It's just terrenceyoung.com.
That's right.
Terrence, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Okay, so what an absolutely incredible story. Terrence Young, brace yourself, folks. There is more to come. Pam, in a nutshell, the story of David Carmichael.
Yes, very tragic story. David Carmichael taking the drug Paxil, unfortunately went through delusional thinking. homicidal thinking and killed his 11-year-old son, thinking he was doing the world a favor by doing so.
That's in a hotel room two miles from where we're sitting, right here in our studio.
David's been on the show with us several times, and he's also got a mission to help people understand some of the side effects.
It's awesome to see these people who've come through these incredible tragedies to use that to motivate others to say, hey, we got to change the system. So that we protect ourselves from the very serious potential side effects of some prescription drugs. We'll be back with David Carmichael in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Second guest this morning, David Carmichael. What a story.
David Carmichael has been on the show a few times, and a very, very tragic story. When he was under the influence of Paxil, he killed his 11-year-old son. Now, he did it because he was delusional. One of the side effects of taking Paxil is having delusional thinking, homicidal, suicidal thoughts.
There are some things you should know. It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations, but it's worth it for the drugs I need.
Wow, 10:35 now. Pam, let me just ask you this. I mean, we are talking to two people this hour who have suffered incredible personal tragedies because of the serious side effects of prescription drugs. These are not the ones that the mayor of Toronto is taking. These are prescription drugs.
And national news today in Canada. National news about the number of deaths due to the opiate drugs. I mean, this is hitting more and more the media, and more people need to understand the repercussions of these drugs, whether they're using them on the streets or whether they're using them according to what their doctors are prescribing. This is a widespread problem. These are not sugar pills. These are drugs that can have serious, serious side effects.
And in the case of Terrence Young, who we just talked to, had not been warned. I mean, if you see the drug commercials on ABC every night, at least there's a warning the last 45 seconds about how you'll have permanent diarrhea, your lungs will explode, and your eyes will fall out. And you may die, too. I'm being somewhat facetious, but not really, though. Check the ads yourself. But we're not getting the honest information. Terrence Young is trying to change all that. We want to welcome now a man we consider a friend of this program now. We've had him on a number of times, David Carmichael. Hi, David.
Good morning, Andy and Pam.
Good morning.
You've had this tragedy in your life. You hear Terrence Young, who's had the tragedy in his life. You just happen to be the more prominent people out there. How many people, David, are suffering in silence?
Oh, there's millions in North America suffering in silence that haven't really fortunately experienced the adverse events like, Terrence and I have had in our families. There's nothing more painful, as your call-in listener explained, as bearing your own child. It's Terrence's case has started 14 years ago, and in my case, it was 8 years ago, come August 1st, that I sent out a news release, and the very first article was in the London Free Press when I decided I need to break my silence to prevent tragedies like ours.
Now, for people who haven't heard your story, David, I think we better start off. If you could just tell us briefly what happened, because I don't think a lot of people are going to understand that. I mean, I know you, David. Andy knows you. We know you're a kind, gentle, loving man. You're a family man. You love your family. You loved your son. This drug did something to you, turned you into something that you're not.
Well, it was in 2003 when I suffered what I now look at has really a nervous breakdown. It was categorized and diagnosed as major depressive disorder, which is the way everything works in the psychiatric area. They sort of put you into this box, and the box seems to be broadening in terms of definition. And I went on the drug Paxil prescribed by my doctor, but never ever talked about any side effects. And in 2003, there were no warnings from Health Canada. They came out in June 2004 saying people of all ages can harm themselves and or others on Paxil and other antidepressants known as SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So I was on the drug, and I was having some side effects that I wasn't comfortable with, but I was functioning very well. Actually, when I look back on it now, in 2003, for the 8 months, I was manic. I was juggling a contract, making great money, and I decided to wean myself off of the drug because I put on some weight. I was sweating excessively. I had some sexual dysfunction problems. So I researched, because my whole career in health promotion has been research and development, and I didn't go to my doctor to talk about this at this particular time. I sort of weaned myself off slowly over time, went back to my doctor, told him what I'd done. He said it was fine, but I also had a full prescription of Paxil. 4 months later, I still had 8 contracts, but I didn't have Paxil to keep me sort of manic so I could get all this work done, and I became sleep deprived, and it was like a freight train. All the symptoms came back on. I put myself back on 40 milligrams of Paxil, and I never had suicidal thoughts at all, and I started to have, raging suicidal thoughts. I mean, I had a little bit when I first went on Paxil the first time at 40 milligrams, but these thoughts, maybe because I was sleep deprived, were more severe. I started to plan it, and I thought it was all part of the illness. So what I did, a week after I'd started Paxil, and I was suffering what they call akathisia, I became really anxious and pacing around and thinking I needed to kill myself, as I thought a little more would be better, because I had an article from a book about drugs in Canada, published by the Canadian Pharmacists Association, and it's at 60 milligrams was sort of that therapeutic level. And now the same book says 40 milligrams is the highest level. So I increased my dosage like I would have taken a second aspirin to get rid of a headache without knowing any of the potential side effects. I became severely psychotic. I planned a murder-suicide with my son because at the time, Ian, he was 11 years old. He had mild epilepsy. Nothing I'd ever been concerned about. It was being treated. He was functioning well. He was a little BMXer, a very happy boy. And I suddenly thought that he had permanent brain damage. He was in living hell. He was going to kill my daughter. My wife was going to have a breakdown. And I thought, that what I need to do with his dad, and this is hard for me to even comprehend myself right now. This is going to be hard for your listeners to understand. In that mental state, delusions are fixed false beliefs. It's part of psychosis, along with hallucinations. And I actually believed he'll be better off in heaven, and I would sacrifice my life and go to prison for the rest of my life to do the right thing. And as I became increasingly psychotic, 2 weeks after I increased my dosage, which is 3 weeks into the drug, 1 week on 40 milligrams, 2 weeks on 60 milligrams, I drove to the London Holiday Inn, and I took his life, 3 o'clock in the morning, calmly called the police. My 911 call was calm. I remember every detail. I have to live with that every day. And I was organized, planned, and this is what psychosis is. And it's frightening to be in that state, and there are people in it. Fortunately, not as severe as my case, but I talk to people almost every day who have lost children to suicides and who have been psychotic themselves on these drugs, not to the point of harming themselves, other people. Sometimes they've cut themselves. And my goal when I went public 8 years ago was to try to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, good for you. And you do work with Dr. David Healy, who wrote the book Pharmageddon. And you are running a website, rxisk.org, risk.org, to basically get consumers to report in their side effects that they're experiencing on their prescription drugs to try and create some kind of accountability around this issue.
Oh, it really is. There's no question. And if you, do any research in the United States, there's an organization called Public Citizen that considers the pharmaceutical industry to be the most corrupt industry in the world. And they've been fined $30 billion over a 20-year period. The company that prescribes Paxil, GlaxoSmithKline, is accountable for 25% of that $30 billion, including the largest fine that Terrence was talking about, $3 billion. The next largest is Pfizer at 9%. So GlaxoSmithKline, from my perspective, is a company that has hidden an awful lot from the public. And they're now actually being tried in the UK for international corruption. And these are issues that have to be dealt with. I really do believe in Canada that we've been really naive towards these issues. I believe for the pharmaceutical industry, Canada is a prescription drug haven. And I have to tell you, I am so proud to have someone like Terrence Young as an MP in this country. He is so courageous, and he is almost single-handedly sticking this through Parliament, so we're going to have probably one of the toughest pieces of legislation in the world to deal with pharmaceutical company corruption.
Now, you recently actually viewed the filming of Drugged to Death, this show done by Lorna Dweck. And again, the website, if you want to see the show, is called contextwithlornadweck.com. Now, you were sitting there watching the filming of this episode. Can you tell us what you witnessed while you were watching the show?
Well, I was there to support Terrence. I'm really trying to support Terrence any way that I can, including once Vanessa's law is passed. It's great to have legislation and laws, but you need to have muscle behind it. So it needs to be enforceable. And to me, as someone in the public who's also dealt with family tragedy, losing a child, I'm going to do what I can to raise public awareness to make sure that this law can actually be implemented. And I think that's the law is one thing. Getting it enforced is another situation. I was in the studio audience to support Terrence, and they also had a pharmacologist as part of the discussion, which really became a bit of a debate. And it seemed to me that the pharmacologist was defending Big Pharma and Health Canada. And we know from the Toronto Star articles that there's issues about Health Canada. And I agree, Rona Ambrose, you know, if she can walk the talk, I'll tell you, if this thing gets passed and it gets implemented, it's going to reform healthcare in this country, no question about it. And I think one of the key things from my perspective is that when I was in the audience between taping and segments, Terrence was on satellite, and this particular Dr. Tyson, who was being interviewed as well, was talking with Lorna between segments, and he said, you know, Terrence has lost his objectivity. I think, you know, he's too emotionally invested in this. And, you know, someone who's also lost a child, my heart rate just, like, I'm sitting there going, what do I do?
What was the phrase? What was the phrase he said to Terrence Young, who lost his 15-year-old daughter to the side effects of a drug? He said, you're too emotionally invested?
Yeah, like he lost his objectivity around pushing this bill forward. And very upsetting to me, obviously, sitting in the audience. And I don't know if anybody else even heard it, but I was really tuned into the conversation he was having privately on the stage just in front of me, the platform where they were doing the taping with Lorna Dueck. So when he finished saying that, I said to Lorna, I said, Lorna, I said, are you still hooked up by audio with Terrence? And she goes, no, I'm not any longer. And she comes over and says, why? Because Lorna is an amazing interviewer. And we know Lorna through some of the other work that I do with a group called People's Right to Integrative Medicine. We've been a supporter of her work because she does deal with some tough issues. And to me, integrative medicine, which really is conventional medicine, which includes prescribing drugs plus complementary therapies, like what you practice, Pam, is the solution to the big problem that's being raised around prescription drug safety. So I went up to Lorna, and she came up to me, and she says, why, what's your interest in this? So I shared my story, and she said, David, you prepared to talk about this? And I said, not on camera. I need to prepare, and it's just not something I want to spontaneously jump into. But after the taping, she asked me to share my story with the studio audience, and she asked me if I would do a blog post, which is on the website as well, you know, contactwithlornadueck.com. It's a blog post. And, you know, it's called When Prescription Drugs Turn Deadly. And I share my story in that blog post. But what I did is I shared with the studio audience, and the studio audience actually seemed to understand just how severe this was, because Terrence did such a great job articulating the issues. And at the end of it, you know, I talked a little bit about, you know, how faith has been important to me dealing with this, because it is a Christian television show. But I also said, if there was one question I would like to ask Dr. Tyson, it would have been, if he has been or is currently a consultant to the pharmaceutical industry, because he does work with Health Canada, but I was really curious, and he had left already, and Lorna tried to get him back, and that's where it ended. But to me, the show itself raises the issues. It's a Christian television show, but it's aired on several networks this week, and you can also watch it online, and there's three blog postings, including one by Dr. Tyson. So him and I have two alternate, you know, I would say they're not totally opposite, because I understand his position on this. We do need to look at these issues more closely, and I think he would agree with that.
The very serious conversation we're having about the very serious potential side effects of some prescription drugs. David Carmichael lost his son Ian, because of it. Terrence Young, the MP behind Vanessa's Law, lost a daughter. This is serious stuff, folks. We'll be back to wrap it up with David Carmichael in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
All drugs cause adverse reactions, but it's a gamble we all take. A pill for every ill? 27 drugs have been taken off the market for killing people, including Vanessa Young, whose father avenged her death with a new Canadian law on drug safety.
There are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination.
Well, it's a very, very serious subject. We're talking about people dying because of the negative side effects of some prescription drugs. And what we've been hearing there in those couple of clips is a spoof of that very, very serious subject. Now, we have just a couple of minutes left. David Carmichael, you suffered a personal tragedy because of Paxil. Terrence Young lost his daughter. Are we starting as a society, David, starting to recognize what you are trying so hard to do with the website risk.org? Are we starting to recognize that this is an issue?
I think we are in Canada. You know, Risk.org, to me, is a great place. It's a trustworthy, independent database of prescription drug side effects, and we also make connections to things like violence and hair issues. It's, you know, there's so many side effects that people aren't aware of, and all you've got to do is enter in your drug. Plus, you've got an interaction checker, so people can look at how drugs interact with other drugs. And they can also get a risk report to take to their doctor to start the dialogue around this. You know, I had a discussion the other day. I think one of the issues is we're proud of universal health care. And when you take a look at our universal health care system across the country, things that tend to cost the least, in fact, what are usually free are the prescription drugs. Very hard to access other types of complementary therapies. So as much as people need to understand the drugs that they're on, they also have to understand they have more options than just prescription drugs to deal with the illness, which is why now I do work for an organization called People's Right to Integrative Medicine. The website is People's RIM, R-I-M, peoplesrim.org. And on there, I've been involved in writing a booklet called Safety First, which is spelling myths about complementary therapies. The first section I wrote with a medical doctor, and it deals with prescription drug issues, not only the safety issues, but also some of the corruption issues are raised in terms of the pharmaceutical industry. And the rest of it are 10 different therapies that are options for people. And people don't even realize they have these options in Canada.
David, I have to jump in because we're almost out of time, and I just hate to do this. I want to end it on a positive note. We have made the point very, very well. We've pointed people to a couple of websites. I want to, in just as a last 1 minute, for you, because I think this is so important for you, and this is our gift back to you for spending all this time with us. Tell us about that wonderful son, Ian, and what a joy he was in your life while you had him.
Well, I was a camcorder daddy, and him and I were very, very close. And it's always difficult to think about him every day, and I miss him so much. He was a joy. He was a very typical 11-year-old boy, lots of fun. He was a great little BMXer. I've got a YouTube video called Greed, Fraud, and Pax, which has a tribute to Ian in BMXing, to a song that my daughter actually recorded when she was 16 years old. And, you know, we miss him every day, and he's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, just to prevent families from going through what we've gone through, and it's what motivated Terrence and many other people, I hope, as people recognize that, you know, we've been misled by the pharmaceutical industry in Canada, and we need to make change.
David, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk again real soon. Okay, I want to wrap up the hour with a little gift. We had a little gift for Terrence talking about his daughter, a gift for David talking about his son. I have a little gift for Pam Killeen. I haven't told her about this, but it's a report which was on CTV London this morning from last night. Another confirmation of what you've been saying all along about the vegan diet and what can happen when you go on the vegan diet. Folks, this is not Pam Killeen. Listen to this from CTV News.
She was a popular blogger known as the Blonde Vegan, but when health concerns caused her to abandon her plant-based diet, she was unprepared for the reaction. Juju Chang has her story.
23-year-old Jordan Younger, going vegan began as a simple goal, to get healthy. Little did she know her humble blog, The Blonde Vegan, chronicling her impeccable food choices, would soon amass a huge fan base on Instagram, more than 70,000 followers. An even bigger surprise, when after just a year of living and touting that vegan lifestyle, Younger says things went sour.
I would just stand in front of the refrigerator for 20 minutes, totally panicking that I wasn't going to be eating the right thing for my body. I was a slave to food.
Confessing in a shocking blog post titled Why I'm Transitioning Away from Veganism that she had developed orthorexia, an obsession with eating righteously.
I've never even heard of orthorexia.
A lot of people haven't heard of orthorexia, which is not surprising to me at all.
Younger says she restricted her own diet so much that she developed a strange rash and grew weak, even stopped having her period.
I started realizing that I had vitamin deficiencies.
You were malnourished.
I was malnourished, yeah. I was very much restricting myself through the shield of veganism.
You basically exposed the dark underbelly of veganism.
Exactly.
But after coming forward, Jordan says she was even more shocked to be bombarded with negative comments, people saying that she wasn't a true vegan, and much worse.
I got death threats. I did. On the opposite side of the spectrum, I had so much support from so many people.
Now, Jordan's changed her diet, adding fish and eggs. She's also changed her Instagram name from vegan to veggie, focusing now on a new direction and a new venture, her new clothing line.
The new message is all about balance. Do whatever you're doing in moderation.
Juju Chang, ABC News, New York.
Well, Pam, it's more of what you've been saying all along.
It's happening more and more. I can't count how many people I've talked to who've been vegetarians or vegans and got so sick on those diets, and the work that they have to do afterwards in order to regain their health. It's very tough after you've been a vegetarian or vegan to get your health back, truly. I'm glad that she only did it for a year. It's still a long time, actually, because it can do a lot of long-term damage to the body. I spend my days helping recovering vegetarians and vegans and near vegetarians. I help all three categories. I help them get better, and I can't begin to tell you the side effects of these diets. It's crazy.
Your website?
PamKilleen.com.
There we go. 11 o'clock news.